getting into the My Lyme project here. So from what I'm understanding here, many people who are bitten by a tick that is carrying Lyme disease, many of these individuals are often misdiagnosed. Can you give me some examples of how someone might be misdiagnosed?
Yeah, so a lot of people in the early stages of Lyme disease might develop different symptoms from other people. And even the symptoms that they do develop can look like other diseases as well. We know that there's a lot of fatigue in early and late stages of Lyme, and that can look like things like chronic fatigue syndrome. We have a lot of headaches, mood changes, things like that. People can often be misdiagnosed with mental health conditions like depression or anxiety and things like that. We also have, again, kind of like those neurocognitive symptoms like brain fog and things like that. So a lot of patients actually refer to Lyme as kind of like this great imitator because it can look like so many other things and it can go misdiagnosed for so long. And the tests that we use specifically in Canada, the ways in which we implement them in our healthcare system currently prevent them from being super effective in acknowledging that there might be a positive case here. So often people can test negative, even though they are carrying the bacteria that's responsible for Lyme disease. So a lot of people can go misdiagnosed here because you do require a positive serological or like blood test for Lyme disease in order to get diagnosed in Canada. If your doctor is not willing to make just a clinical diagnosis. So a lot of people actually go down to the States or go out to Germany to get tested there and end up testing positive there and not here. And then it becomes very complicated for those people to get the healthcare that they need.
Wow. So it's there's so many possibilities, and it could be a case where someone might even test negative, but they might still be carrying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this project, can you tell me a bit about your process and how you're doing this research?
Yeah. So we launch a survey every year. This is the third year that we're launching our annual survey. It is a little bit different this year. We're specifically focusing on increasing our focus on geographical differences and interpersonal differences in symptom presentation and looking at any kind of overlap between the two. So maybe people who are being bitten by ticks in Kingston develop different symptoms than people who are being bitten in Nova Scotia, for example. And maybe there's a difference in the pathogens that the ticks carry there. Maybe the Borrelia bacteria that we know to be a causal factor in Lyme disease looks just like slightly different in different regions, and that leads to different symptom profiles potentially. Maybe there are other reasons. Maybe Lyme disease is more recognized in some regions than others. So the healthcare that people get in that area is more effective at preventing chronic Lyme than other places. So we might see more acute symptoms more commonly in places like Kingston, where Lyme is really recognized, versus maybe more chronic symptoms like chronic fatigue or chronic headaches and things like that, chronic pain, in places where Lyme disease maybe isn't as recognized. So that's something that we're really interested in kind of developing an understanding of, is how Lyme disease shows up and how does it show up differently in different regions of Canada? And how can we use that information to better inform healthcare policy, better empower patients, empower practitioners to make more accurate diagnoses, more specific diagnoses when it comes to tick-borne disease? And also a specific interest of mine, being in clinical psychology, I'm really interested in mental health outcomes for people with Lyme disease, with kind of just like misunderstood, contested illnesses overall. So I'm really interested in hearing about people's healthcare experiences and how those things have kind of informed poor mental health outcomes like depression.
So this is all really linked in the sense that, as you're bringing up here, even Lyme disease has significant impacts on one's mental health as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It makes sense, right? Like if you're going into the healthcare system with these symptoms and maybe you're testing negative, but you were bitten by a tick and and you got all these symptoms afterwards, and it doesn't really make sense that the tests are negative when all the symptoms line up with like how we understand Lyme disease to show up. And there's a lot of stigma within the medical community as well as to what exactly chronic Lyme disease looks like. So you could be facing that stigma in the healthcare community. It could be really hard to get disability at work if you're not able to get a diagnosis right, which can further impact your mental health. So there's just all these various factors that go into what it means to live with that uncertainty and how you cope with that. And yeah.
So the primary outcome is to be able to deliver this data, this information to healthcare professionals. What is the ultimate hope beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big focus for us, is informing healthcare policy, really amping up our knowledge translation so that we can, again, help empower patients, help empower practitioners to make those informed decisions about what tick-borne disease looks like in their area. A specific interest for me is really improving mental health support for people living with uncertain or misunderstood illnesses. We don't see a lot of incorporation of mental health care into our broader approach to tick-borne disease. And I think that's really important when we come to factor in all of these stigma factors and lack of social support and things like that. It's really important for the early disease management stages to not only address acute intervention with like antibiotics and things like that, but also to say like, hey, how are you coping with this? Like, how are things going for you? I think that's a really important step for patients to feel heard and to feel seen in their illness.
And you're also looking for people who have lived experience with Lyme disease to go to mylyme.ca to take part in this survey. Tell me a little bit about some of the questions that you'll be asking people in this survey.
Yeah, so we've got a kind of big survey. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to complete. We're asking about people's symptoms at various stages in the illness because we want to understand not only what symptoms are showing up, but how they're showing up over time. So what symptoms you're experiencing when you first noticed that you were bitten, how you felt when you were receiving treatment, how you're feeling after treatment now. We've gotten a lot of feedback from our patient partners that that's really valuable information for them because maybe they experienced fatigue in the early stages, but that's not really something that they experienced 3 years out, right? So we want to be able to have that really specific information about symptom presentation. We're asking questions about their treatment experiences and general experiences within the healthcare system here in Canada, as well as the States. We have questions about mental health outcomes, beliefs about healthcare and disease and yourself. So yeah, just a big wide range. We're asking about sleep outcomes. We've got some daily diary measures so that we can get super specific about symptom presentation over time. So yeah, we're really excited about this survey and the potential implications of the data.
Excellent. And so how long is this survey running until?
We're ongoing recruitment for the foreseeable future. So whenever people have time, we'd be more than happy to have people check it out.